Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. Just to give you the very latest on the bonfire that is burning in the canyon areas of Orange County. It has now reached 4,000 acres, according to the Orange County Fire Authority. The fire broke out about 10:15 last night on Silverado Canyon Drive. It started as a house fire, but the winds were blowing so strongly that the fire spread from the house into the nearby brush. And so now we have evacuations that have been ordered in Modjeska, Silverado, and Williams Canyon, Foothill Ranch and Portola Hills west of El Toro and north of the 241 Toll Road. And voluntary evacuations have been issued for Lake Forest from the 241 along Bake Parkway to Music and north to the border with Irvine, also from the 241 north to Bake Parkway to Foothill Ranch. Community Ranch, Borrego Canyon, Baker Ranch, Portola Hills, Live Oak Canyon, Trabuco Canyon, Rose Canyon, Valley Vista Way, and Meadow Ridge Drive are all voluntary evacuation areas. We will keep you updated on the firefighting effort there, where they're hoping around now to be able to begin an aerial fight against the fire. The aerial firefighting was grounded earlier because of high winds. Also in news this morning, the U.S. Supreme Court ordered a lower court to revisit its ruling against Pasadena's Harvest Rock Church and Harvest International Ministry. The church filed a federal lawsuit against Governor Newsom on the governor's COVID-19 restrictions. Harvest Rock recently sought to block Newsom's ban on indoor singing and chanting in churches. It was denied in its bid to overturn the order by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The Supreme Court, though, this morning sent the case back to the appellate court. In a similar case, the High Court ruled 5-4 in favor of houses of worship challenging New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's coronavirus-related restrictions. So somewhat of a win there for Pasadena's Harvest Rock Church in its lawsuit against California and the restrictions on singing indoors. Joining us to talk about the very latest on COVID-19 is Dr. Timothy Brewer, UCLA School of Public Health epidemiologist and professor of medicine. Dr. Brewer, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
First of all, your thoughts on this ongoing legal battle over restrictions on churches.
Well, obviously I'm not a lawyer, but I would not recommend that anybody go spend time in a building engaged in an activity where you're going to put yourself at risk for acquiring COVID-19 or spreading it to others. So if you're near somebody, if you're talking, singing, or shouting, or coughing, if you're spending a lot of time with them and you're indoors, all of that's going to increase your risk of transmission. So I would think that individuals who want to protect themselves rather than put themselves at risk.
Last evening, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti urged Angelenos to heed the city's new COVID-19 order.
My message couldn't be simpler. It's time to hunker down. It's time to cancel everything. And if it isn't essential, don't do it. Don't meet up with others outside your household. Don't host a gathering, don't attend a gathering. And following our targeted safer at home order, if you're able to stay home, stay home.
That order, though, provoked a confusion when an alert went out to many smartphones. People were questioning whether immediately they were being told that they couldn't go out at all. However, there are a long list of exceptions. People are able to go out even after 10 o'clock at night to do food pickup, to do essential shopping. People who are working in retail can still go to work. People in a wide range of businesses. And the messaging seemed to many listeners that we've heard from to be very confusing. Next hour on Air Talk, we're going to dive deeper into that. And the real challenges communicating that elected officials and public health officials have had over the past 8.5 months. But Dr. Brewer, can you elaborate a bit on where we are at on these restrictions? Because I think a lot of people were left scratching their heads after last night's order.
No, I would agree completely with you, Larry, that it has been confusing. So a couple of things just to remember. The first is that these shelter-in-place orders actually do work. When we look at what happened in California back in March and April and in June, when we look at data from Arizona in July, when you actually stay home and you limit your movements around, COVID cases do actually come down and hospitalizations come down. So they do work. The second is remembering to do all the things that we've talked about before, wear your mask, keep your social distance, stay home if you're sick. All of that's part of it. So it's not just the shelter in place, but when you do go out, if you have to go to the grocery store, don't forget to do those other things like keeping your facial covering on and your distance that are so critically important to keeping the COVID transmission down.
It leaves many questions, though. One of our producers just raising the question, well, can I still get together to go on a regularly scheduled walk that I do with a friend? We're masked, we keep our distance, but we're told in this order not to get together with anyone outside of the same household. So in a case like that, should people cancel even getting together and doing what would seem to be safe, socially distanced walks?
So very tough question. So let's talk about the science first, and then we'll talk about the public health policy. So there actually are not good data to suggest that doing outdoor activities, particularly if you're wearing a facial covering and maintaining social distance, really puts you much at risk for acquiring COVID-19. So not a lot of evidence to support that outdoor activities are a serious risk for transmission. On the public health side, we're clearly in a crisis, right? So if you go back just to the beginning of November, we were averaging about 800 hospitalizations a day, 800 people in the hospital a day in LA County. We're now at about 2,500. We were averaging about 15 deaths a day. We're now at about 40. So clearly we have a real problem going on in our neighborhood. And the question is, what can we do to bring that under control?
You have questions for our guest, Dr. Timothy Brewer of the Fielding School of Public Health at UCLA. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Also comment by tweeting at AirTalk. You can post on the AirTalk Facebook page as well. We're seeing hospitalizations rise to the point where in San Bernardino County, Dr. Brewer, apparently ambulance dispatches are being limited to just what are serious ambulance response. The sort of routine response that might have happened previously isn't taking place. And you think that we could be seeing that in other areas as well?
I think that's certainly the concern, and I believe that's the motivation behind the mayor's order and certainly what the governor has been talking about it well. So we are starting to get stretched at our capacity. COVID hospitalizations in the state are running at about 9,000 people in a hospital per day. And that's certainly going to impact our ability to take care of all the other things we do every single day. People with other kinds of pneumonia, cancer, heart disease, strokes, all the other problems that we have to deal with. Those don't go away just because there's a COVID pandemic going on.
We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Joaquin writes on the page, I think most public health officials have proven themselves astoundingly tone deaf about quality of life trade-offs. Yes, go for a walk with your friend. Are you kidding? That's Joaquin writing on the AirTalk page. Dr. Brewer, what do you think of his point?
Well, I think Joaquin is right that there are not a lot of data to support that walking outside is really a high-risk activity. And I think the challenge is balancing where we actually have evidence to support our public health measures with these quality of life trade-offs. The more we shelter people in place at home, the more we put them at risk for mental health issues, the more we put them at risk for not getting the appropriate physical activity they need. So it is a challenge to get that balance right. And I think right now we're kind of at the very high concern level and maybe pushing the restrictions farther than we have data to support them.
Cameron in West Hollywood, you're on Air Talk. I understand that your partner tested positive for COVID-19, but you didn't. Has your partner had symptoms?
She has, yeah. They were fairly mild, luckily. And she's now doesn't have symptoms outside of no taste and smell.
Okay. All right. Well, glad it was not more serious, and hopefully her sense of taste and smell will come back soon. What was your question?
I'm just kind of getting mixed messages from the L.A. Department of Health is telling me that I need to quarantine for a full 14 days from when she tested positive, as long as I continue to test negative. And now I'm seeing that people are saying, you know, or the CDC is saying if you have exposure, it's a 10-day quarantine. Obviously, 14 days is safer, but I'm just kind of curious, when can I leave my house?
And Cameron, how many tests have you had at this point?
Three
tests. Okay. And how many days in are we?
10.
10 days. Okay. Cameron, thanks very much. Dr. Brewer?
So the CDC just changed their recommendations within the last few days, and it's probable that the county public health department has not had a chance to update their recommendations to coincide with the CDC. So the 14-day recommendation had been the traditional recommendation that's been in place since almost the beginning of the pandemic. What we do know is that if the virus transmission is going to occur, the vast majority of the time it occurs within the first 6 to 7 days. So if Cameron is 10 days out with a negative test, he's very unlikely to acquire COVID-19 at this point, but it's not impossible. That's why the original 14-day recommendation came up. But I think the CDC, looking at the data, is realizing when transmission occurs, it usually occurs earlier in the disease process rather than later.
All right, Cameron. And again, we wish your partner a thorough recovery very soon and that you continue to test negative for COVID-19. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Joe asks on the page, is there any evidence supporting the order closing playgrounds but allowing beaches to stay open? Dr. Brewer?
Assuming the playgrounds are outside, there is no reason to assume that a playground is any different from a beach. Again, if you go to the playground, you're going to want to maintain that social distancing, wear your facial covering, and don't go to the playground if you are sick or your child is sick. But I'm not aware of any data to suggest that an outdoor playground is any different than a beach.
Hey, John, says, my adult daughter needs to return to our home. I'm immunocompromised. How can we have her move in but stay safe?
So, John, you can do a couple of things. One is she could isolate herself. So if she has had anything that would be a potential exposure, she could isolate herself 7 to 10 days if she's following the CDC guidelines, 14 days if she's following the current county guidelines. Assuming she's not been sick at that point and not been exposed to anybody, then she would be able to safely move into your house. Extremely unlikely that she would have COVID-19 and put you at risk at that point. Another possibility is if she's in the house, wear a facial covering, maintain social distancing, try to stay apart as much as possible, again, for that 7 to 10 day period until you're both sure that there's no reason to believe that she might be infected.
Jenna in Fullerton says, what can we as residents do when we see people not following rules? That's a tricky question we've taken up a few times, and we've asked listeners, you know, what they do, how far they go in confronting someone, or they try and read whether the person they expect would be open to that or not. Sometimes there's, you know, body language, but you can't, in some cases, even see the facial expression. If they're improperly wearing a mask, there's still some degree of covering. You don't necessarily, you know, get a sense of the person you're dealing with. Dr. Brewer, what do you think?
You know, very difficult question. The way I personally handle it is I just try to make sure I'm wearing my mask properly and then maintaining my social distance. So if we're outside, I'm trying to keep at least 6-10 feet away from the individual. If I'm in a grocery store, I try to move somewhere else. But I don't go looking to confront people and say, look, this is inappropriate. And what I try to do is just model appropriate behavior and keep myself and my community as safe as possible.
Mike in Long Beach says, I have a 2-year-old who tested positive. What recommendation do you have for someone that age who can't wear a mask? I can't keep my 2-year-old totally cooped up. What should I do?
Well, a couple of things. One, again, there's no evidence that, or very limited evidence to suggest that outdoor transmission is a major component of the spreading of COVID-19. So you certainly could have your 2-year-old in your backyard if you have one, or you know, out in a park away from other children. Children can definitely transmit COVID-19, so we do know that, but they probably do it less than adults. And as you get farther out from the test, the less likely she is to be able to transmit. So certainly if she's been asymptomatic for 10 days, at that point she's not going to be transmitting and you could resume your normal activities.
Final question for you, Dr. Brewer. You know, I've had so many listeners ask, what is the data, the reasoning behind various orders? Nail salons, for example, can be open with 20%, I think it is, of capacity, but restaurants can't have diners outdoors. So people are trying to make sense of this. On what data is this based?
So the short answer is no data, right? So I'm not aware of any studies to say, okay, we've now studied nail salons and compared them with outdoor dining. So what we're doing is we're extrapolating from what we do know. So what we do know is that transmission is much more likely to occur indoors rather than outdoors. We know that transmission is much more likely to occur if people are close together than if they're farther apart. If they're not wearing facial coverings, it's more likely to occur. And if they go out when they're sick, transmission is more likely to occur. So those are where we have good data. And then we're just kind of extrapolating at the same time, trying to do that very difficult balance of allowing people to maintain their livelihoods. This has had a substantial economic hardship and impact on many of our neighbors, friends, and colleagues. And it's a very difficult balance to get that right. But there aren't a lot of data to support those kind of individual decisions that have been made.
Dr. Brewer, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, for being with us again on Air Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Epidemiologist, professor of medicine at UCLA's Fielding School of Public Health. He served on the advisory boards of the World Health Organization, National Institutes of Health, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, UCLA's Dr. Timothy Brewer. Just want to update you on the bonfire that's burning in the canyon area of Orange County. The Orange County Fire Authority saying now that Cowan Heights and Lemon Heights are under an evacuation warning. That's nothing mandatory at this point, but if you live in Cowan Heights and Lemon Heights, You'd be good to think about things that you would want to take. You could even start packing your vehicle just in case there is an evacuation that is issued. But it's an evacuation warning at this point for Cowan Heights and Lemon Heights. The bonfire at approximately 4,000 acres, 0% containment. We'll keep you updated throughout the course of Air Talk. Coming up, the latest on political news. We have a lot of it. We'll be back in just 1 minute.